Welcome to an open house meeting with John Sherman, broadcast live from Ojai, California, on March 13, 2013.
Hello, everybody. This is John. Glad to see you here. Glad to be here with you. I'm going to start today by, as you may know, or at least may have a sense of, we have been pretty much focused all of our attention on the implementation of the new email system here. And I fell behind a little bit on the forum postings, and yesterday went through all of the ones that I had not previously approved and approved. I think I approved all of them. They're quite good, quite worth reading. But there was this one, and I wanted to, because this is very simple and small and actually has... it concerns itself with something that I think is pretty important to understand. I'm going to respond to this posting here and then post it to the forum later today. This is from a person with the username Agnosis, which I take to be a now formulation of the word agnostic, which is, has to do with not knowing. Dear John, your suggestion that we don't have anything to say about anything makes a great deal of sense to me. It's even more obvious after doing the looking. But isn't this that case? But isn't this that case that we don't even have anything to say about where to put our attention by the same token? So he's saying, we don't have anything to say about anything at all that's going on, but why do you say that that you have a choice in moving your attention? What makes you think that we have any choice in moving our attention? Of course, it appears that we have a choice in controlling our beam of attention, but in the same way that it appears that we have a choice in doing everything else. Thinking a thought, for instance. Everything that happens seems to be an inevitable part of an eternal chain of causes and effects, and then in parentheses, except me, which is unaffected by all of this. Hope this doesn't sound like a philosophical question. We'll appreciate your comments. Well, of course, it is a philosophical question. There's no other category that it would fit into. And I don't have any problem with philosophy at all. I actually... spent a good deal of time in my life desperately sort of interested in philosophy. It's just that philosophy seeks to explain the world. And we are actually living in the world philosophy tries to explain. So that when questions like this arise in my own mind, what I turn to now is... to my own experience of things, to see what I think about things based on my experience of things and informed, you know, by other people's opinions about things. But the bottom line is what I experience. And the reason that I believe that we have some limited control and some choice as to what we attend to, and again, we are not always controlling the direction of our attention. We're not always doing that. In fact, we are seldom doing that. The most common way that attention moves is it moves to what attracts it. And what attracts it is defined by the whole context in which attention is operating. So that it's true that for the most part, we just don't bother with it. It goes to what calls it. Bright, shiny objects, loud noises, dark thoughts, happy thoughts, pleasure, and things of that nature. But it is my continuous experience that I have some control, sometimes, and the times that I do have control are the times when it occurs to me to try to control it. And I do have some limited control and choice as to what we attend to, and the reason I believe this is because that happens to be my continuous experience, not because of philosophical considerations that would lead me to that conclusion, but because it is my continuous experience. In my experience, also, such things as thinking a thought, for instance, as the writer holds up as an example of those things that are like attention in that we think that we have control over it, but we don't. Thinking a thought. The business about controlling the thinking of a thought is quickly revealed to be totally involuntary simply by asking the question to myself, can I think a thought by will? What thought can I think by will? How will I do that? And that question immediately reveals beyond all doubt and reveals to experience, not to beliefs or understandings, beyond all doubt that there is no possibility that a thought can be intended before it appears on its own. Follow that. Listen to that. There's no possibility that a thought can be intended before it appears on its own. The very feeling of intending to think something is merely the perception of the thought that has already appeared. Try it and see. You'll see that that's the case. I'm certain of it. But with attention, my experience is that the feel of intentional movement of attention is just as obviously within my power with some limitations as thinking a thought is not. It is the feel of a deliberate movement of attention from one object of experience to another object of experience erases the whole question as to whether or not it is intentional. It is clearly, obviously, by experience, intentional. So that's why I think that. I think it because that's my experience. I know I have actually considerable experience in the realm of philosophy, and I know all the philosophical arguments and so forth that might cause us to be confused about that. But that confusion is erased with reference to direct personal experience of things. And just in the same way, nothing of what I say is, if I say that something is possible for you to see for yourself, you should take that advice. Nothing that I say that is possible for you to see for yourself should be taken on face value, any more than anything the philosophers say should, or anybody else should. If it's within your power to determine by your own direct experience the actual fact of any matter, then determine it by your own direct experience, by seeing what happens, by seeing what it feels like, and by reflecting on what that implies. You must learn to rely on your direct experience of things. You must learn to be willing to disregard whatever I or anyone else may say about it. That doesn't mean you throw everything away that you have believed to be true. The things that are false will fall away on their own. But you have got to rely on yourself. Above all things, you have got to rely on yourself. And also, truth be told, it seems to me this whole question of whether we can or cannot move our attention to the feel of me, the experience of what I feel like, what me feels like here, Because if you try it, if you try to look at you, whether that is intentional or unintentional, will is again beside the point, because your relationship with life will change dramatically without regard to whose doing it was. But I know this. I know that whether you believe you have control over your attention or do not believe you have control over your attention, I know that the looking only works when there is a serious, intentional determination in your own, in you, to accomplish that act of getting a taste of what it feels like to be you. I know that, because I've seen that. And I've seen what happens when that's not there, too. So, I hope that helps. I hope that is helpful to anybody that hears it, and particularly to agnosis. I hope. See, these questions are really kind of just... all the questions that go to the understanding of these things are beside the point when you can see directly for yourself what the case is. And you must trust yourself. You must. You are totally trustworthy. So that's pretty much all I had to say. I'm happy to talk to anybody who wants to talk to me. And I know that Carla told you how to do that. So I'll just sit here and spend time with you. Don.
John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Not so good.
Well, there you go.
I have fallen back into the trap of feeling deeply that I've failed, I've underachieved, I'm not doing anything with my life. I even started reading Advaita books again, which I stopped now because I don't know exactly what I'm looking for. I've certainly done the looking pretty rigorously. I can sum it up for you very simply. I really can, without getting analytical or philosophical. I can't seem to give myself a break. I bother myself. I make myself miserable. Not all the time by any means, but much more frequently than I'd like. And it's over nothing other than those old thoughts, memories, ideas, and concepts. And I thought by now, at least a dent would have been made. It's basically negative, self-deprecating, coulda, shoulda, woulda, you know, these invidious comparisons.
You seem to know that that's a ridiculous clump of thought.
It's ridiculous, but it hurts
so
like hell.
Why pay any attention to it? Why not attend to something else? Why not turn away from it?
Well, easier said than done, as the old song goes.
Well, you can do that. You know, and that's precisely what I'm talking about when I'm talking to this man here.
Yeah, well, that's why I decided to get it in there first rather than throw my usual joke of the week, because I'm serious here. And
that's
that,
good.
That email addresses what I've been thinking. And I think you're right. I think, you know, if I successfully let's put it this way, no volition. If my attention is successfully focused elsewhere, I don't give a damn how that happened. You know?
Right, exactly.
If experientially and subjectively I feel happy and involved with
something. Yeah, but wait a minute. Well,
go ahead.
I'm not talking about you feeling happy and involved.
No,
I'm talking very simply. This is not a full, you know, like a complete suitcase full of solutions for you. I'm talking very simply about when you find yourself attending to that train of thought about worthlessness or I'm not right or I'm wrong or whatever it is. just turn away from it.
Towards?
It's just thought. Huh?
Towards?
Toward your breath. That's a good one. It doesn't, breath very seldom causes any difficulty. Toward your breath. You've got to learn, and I'm not, I say you, Don, but I'm talking to everybody. The effectiveness of taking control of where you put your attention does not come to you automatically. That comes as a result of exercising that ability that you already have. So that's the reason why I encourage everybody, and you know, some people have much worse time than you in the aftermath of the looking. But that's why I encourage everybody, whenever you can, learn, and this is not like so much therapeutic as it is developmental. Start exercising the power you have to decide where to put your attention as soon as you possibly can, because that's what is going to make the difference in the richness of your experience of life and the end of, and that's what makes it possible for that endless yearning for whatever it is that's missing to show up. If that yearning is meaningless, there's nothing that it actually refers to. And if you will begin using the power you have to move your attention, away from thoughts that have no interest whatsoever, I guarantee you that it'll serve you well in the entire way in which you experience life altogether. There is no, what this does not change the life. It doesn't change life. It doesn't make life easy. It doesn't make all of the habitual misunderstandings that we have so lovingly accumulated over long lives, and I have a long life and so do you. It doesn't make all those things just disappear. It doesn't make those thought forms just never show up again. What it does is it gives you the opportunity to begin controlling what you can control and enjoying what you can't. So you gotta work at this. You know, if somebody is like sports injuries, you know, if people get injured by sports and some kind of sports injuries that require therapeutic exercise, you know, like strengthening exercises and so forth, if they don't do them, they will just end up in bed. It's the same with this. You've got to exercise your power to move your attention. You cannot think that if you wait long enough, those thought forms will disappear. And the idea that those thought forms cause you any difficulty at all is false. It is a thought itself. So don't attend to it. Learn how to move your attention. Move your attention to what is not fairy tales. Move your attention to the feel of your breath, which is neutral and physical. That's my advice.
Okay, so I like the sports analogy. I have to rehab my head.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, it's not, we have allowed our attention to be drawn by stupid stuff for our entire lives. It has never occurred to us that there's anything we can do about that in the past.
Well, I have noticed one thing from your suggestion, and I'm going to be honest, I don't generally take suggestions to heart very well. I'm very enthusiastic when I hear them. Like so many people, I end up doing something else. But what we're talking about, the phenomenon, what occurs, what I do, if it's nipped in the bud, that's critical. Otherwise, it's off and running.
Yeah, but when you notice it's off and running, you're right. Nip it in the bud as quickly as you can.
Yeah.
But when you notice there's an unpleasant feeling state associated with resting attention on those thoughts, there's a noticeable and recognizable unpleasant feeling state. Is that not true?
Oh.
Well, just start training yourself that when you notice that feeling state, turn away from it. And it won't happen, you know, you won't be good at it in the beginning, but you get good at it by practice like everything else.
I wish I had Willie Mays' natural talent, but you're right, it was going to take practice. I'll tell you, if there's one more thing I may ask, I find myself, now that I'm retired, working one day a week, sort of doing nothing and making plans the day before to conquer the world and end up the next day, it's like that old joke in the bar, free beer tomorrow. You know, nothing changes. And then I sit around and bemoan the fact that I don't really do anything. I mean, we do. We take care of ourselves. We do our chores. We pay our bills, you know. But
That's what's wrong with that?
Yeah,
that's
it's
what
like,
I do. I pay my bills. I do my chores. I empty the litter box every day.
Please, I gotta count. I'll take you on with that anytime.
You know, that's what life is, man.
Oh. Life, Nikki and Lola and the litter box, absolutely critical. We love them so much. But, you know, I feel that there should be, I should be doing something. God knows what. I'm not talking about Albert Schweitzer or Mother Teresa.
I can tell you one thing you can do that would be helpful, and that's start.
To shut up, right?
No. Start talking about these things in the community where everybody else is having the same trouble that you're having.
They can't be, John. I'm different. And you know, it's said
you're
very
a funny man.
It's said very facetiously, but on some level I believe it. And it does come out funny because when I say it out loud, it sounds so utterly ridiculous.
Yes. And I tell you, Don, like I have the same thing, right? I'll go to bed, I'll be lying in bed at night or something, and I'll think, oh boy, what I'm going to get done tomorrow. I'm going to do this and that and the other thing. And pretty soon the whole world will be saved.
And what do you do?
And of course the next day I empty the litter box, I make oatmeal in the morning, I, you know, go to the store when I need to, I work on the technical aspects of our work that I have to constantly, deal with and so forth. I write things, I do the things that my circumstance calls upon me to do.
Yeah, which is fair enough, you know, the old expression. Go ahead.
And the next day, when you do those big plans the day before, and the next day you say, oh boy, this is just the same old, same old. Just turn your attention away from that idea.
Okay.
Just move your attention away from it.
I'll give it a try. It's almost as if I occupy my time as an avocation or a hobby doing this to myself. You know, they have that old expression from your earlier training. I'm sure you're familiar with it. You know, chop wood, carry water.
That's it.
If I do that in the street out here in Queens, I'll probably be put in a mental asylum.
Yeah, and you see those old insights like chop wood, carry water, and so forth.
Right.
All those old insights, they come from authentic insights into what it is to be alive and free as a human being. That's where they come from.
Unfortunately,
they don't do us much good because they don't tell us anything that will bring us to a capacity to be able to meet life that way.
Right. But so, the looking does that, hopefully.
The looking does that. And my conviction is that all those people who authentically have tried to tell us what life should be like have actually accomplished that but didn't know what they did. And we had an interesting, Carl and I had an interesting conversation the other day, which one of these days I'm going to share with the group about precisely that, about the possibility of people being able to actually get a look, not know what actually happened to them, see their life change, and then try to relate to others what has happened to them without knowing what happened.
So. I can understand what you're saying. Changes have been affected in me that I haven't been aware of until I look back, let's say, 6 months or what have you.
Right.
But, you know, when I got on the phone right now, I felt a sense of embarrassment and failure. You know, I don't want to disappoint John. It's all so foolish.
Yeah.
I'm a human being. I mean, but I don't see it that way. I want to be special. I want to be, wow.
No. But see how you insist on claiming these thoughts as what you want and what you don't. That's just an old habit. Those are just thoughts. As I said to the person in this email, one thing I know is that I have nothing whatsoever to say about the thoughts that come, and that it is actually kind of incoherent even to suspect that that's the case. So just turn your attention away from that stuff, Don. Starved of your attention, those things will just disappear in time. And you won't even remember them.
Well, I'll take you at your word, and I'll start doing that regularly. And I'm delighted, because the other alternative, I was going to ask you to euthanize me.
I don't deal in that kind of stuff.
Nor do I. That would ruin Wednesday afternoon in this time zone. Thanks, John. Be well.
Okay. Stay with us, Don.
For sure.
And, you know, work. You got to work. This doesn't drop from the sky, actually.
Silver platter, Don. That's me.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
Nice shot.
Okay, anybody else wants to talk to me? You know, you just raise your hand and we'll get into a little, whatever you want to get into. I'd like to try to clarify something from the last conversation there and from the whole way I've spoken this morning. When I speak to you about the importance and the value of learning to become self-reliant and to develop your skill and effectiveness in controlling your attention when you want to control your attention, when I speak about those things, it's because that at this time, principally, in fact, perhaps entirely, because of the great contribution to the understanding of all of us of what's involved in the looking and the aftermath of the looking, that is contained within the forums at the community center. It's because of that we've come to the insight and the understanding, and which has proven true, about the usefulness of exercising your ability to control your attention as soon as it's possible for you to do so deliberately in the course of becoming acclimated to the direct experience of your own life. People who take that seriously, and it's not something that you, as I said to Don, it's not something that you become immediately skillful at. It takes time, and it takes practice and so forth. But if you undertake that effort to consciously get good with putting your attention where you want your attention to go, the difficulty that attends this sudden re-immersion in the life itself, which we have held at arm's length until now, will pass more quickly. And everything you do in the effort to learn how to control your attention will serve you for the rest of your life in ways that you can't understand until you've actually done the looking and taken part in the effort to learn to work with your attention in an effective and useful way. The truth is that if you don't do anything but look, that underlying yearning for something that seems to be missing, that is going to go anyway. the context that holds that life is to be kept at arm's length, that will go anyway. And as time goes on, and as in the fullness of time, if you have that long, in the fullness of time, everything will come right anyway, whether you ever do anything deliberately to try to help yourself become self-reliant and effective in the relationship with your own life. All that will happen anyway. When I accomplished this act for the first time, I was not certain what I had done. And I had I didn't even have an idea at all of what had happened. And I certainly had no sense that there was anything I could do by such things as learning to control my attention and so forth that would be valuable to me or useful to me in my life and in my becoming acclimated to the direct experience of life itself. And my confusion persisted for a very long time. But confusion it was. And my re-acclimation to the experience of my life was extremely difficult. And I had no idea what was happening, which, of course, makes it even more difficult. Same things that are reported in the forums, the same misery, the same torment, the same second-guessing, the same relapses into trying to get some satisfaction that I used to get from things that used to give me some satisfaction. All those things. I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know what had happened. I learned what had happened as a result of trying to speak to you folks, not necessarily those of you here now, but all of the people for the last going on 15 years now have been so generous with their time and attention and willingness to take part in this conversation. It's my experience with you folks that led me to see what actually was happening. And it's my experience with you folks continuously that revealed to me the things that the things about this that previously I did not even suspect, such as this power of attention. So you can just kick back and just enjoy the misery, which, you know, we are quite capable of enjoying misery. And in the end, everything will come right anyway. But oh, what a difference. And the difference that I see in the people that are coming now in these later times when so much work has been done here to clarify and deepen our understanding and deepen our ability to know the practical possibilities that are inherent in finally not being afraid of your own life. And you could be fine. But if you'll come to the community here and help in the forums by sharing your own experience with what happens to you, as so many of you already are, our understanding of what we're about here will flourish. If you don't, again, you'll be okay in the end. But it'll be a much rockier road to get there, and I promise you, you will not enjoy the journey as you can enjoy the journey if you begin to first of all, begin to learn your control over your own attention. Begin to learn how to move your attention at will. And second of all, if you become a part of this community of people who are all just like you and just like me, and just like Carla, learning together what wonders have been made possible by this simple act of looking, by this simple act of looking. So feel free to take as long as you want. Feel free to... I think what happens is that we go off on our own. And when we go off on our own, we get confused. If we're in a community of people that are, that have one, not one mind, but one purpose, the purpose being to bring an end to the insanity of being human in this human world. And the purpose being to, as that insanity drains away, to learn how to live in this new life, which is free of the fearfulness that ruins life for us all. I said more than I always talk longer than I want to. All I really want to say is that whether you do this or don't, if you have looked, it's all going to turn out right. But if you have looked and just kind of go off on your own to try to wait it out or to decide for yourself whether it's working or whatever you do, then it is going to be a longer road and a harder road and less fun. This is much more fun here. Hi, Marlo.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I was thinking that I'm not dissimilar from Don. I think I experience similar issues being in the same age range and also having been formally out of work since 2009. And not having coped that well with it for a lot of the time, but recently, since listening to you, I've certainly gotten better at it. And a lot of my energy goes into just what you describe, all those simple tasks. And it makes me think of Groundhog Day, the movie. You know, that
yeah.
Going through, and it doesn't always, you know, in Groundhog Day, it shows a steady progression upwards. And that's certainly not always how it feels for me. But a similarity of the dance, it can become a dance. And I've always liked dance. So, like, an issue I deal with is envy. I have a lot of wonderful friends, and I get envious.
But see, that's not an issue. that's just a feeling state of envy. And with that, like everything else, you can actually just kind of move your attention away from it. The idea, see, we have this idea, I think, that is kind of embedded in us, that there's something missing here. That if only I could find the piece that is missing, everything would clear up. And that's just magical thinking. There's nothing missing here. You're here, and nothing can be missing as long as you're here. The only thing that, that idea that there's some missing piece that has to be found, and that doesn't necessarily have to be literally the idea that's held, but that sense that there's something still wrong, that if I could just write it, it would clear all of this up, is magical thinking. And what the looking does is it does, first of all, it brings you in direct contact with the actual experience of your life, still carrying a mindset that is that doesn't like that. That has been designed and created and formed as a way of providing a buffer between you and the experiences that comprise your life. And it's not working anymore, and sometimes the experiences like that envy and stuff just get really hard. It's not that you need to snuff out the experience of envy. Fortunately, because so far as I know, no one has been able to figure out a way to snuff out any experience in the mind whatsoever. Really. You know, once it's present. What you can do is just see that it doesn't mean anything. It is just an experience, and turn your attention away from it. And if you're doing that, then you'll learn, then you will see that over time, those feeling states, like envy, they weaken and kind of get ragged around the edges, and after a while just don't bother to show up. Do you follow that?
I do follow that, and they certainly seem to last shorter periods, and I also see the humor in them. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do. And I also see more deeply the beauty that I'm surrounded in, although it's at odds with with these other feelings.
Yeah, but you see, one thing to see is that the beauty that we are immersed in is not like a thing. It's not like some new thing, some new state, feeling state. It's just the case. And from our past experience with these matters, we have a habitual way of wanting to I don't know how to call it, to kind of freeze the idea of beauty surrounds us. And the truth of the matter is that seldom, my experience is that I am entirely immersed in drowning in beauty all the time. But I never think of it. It doesn't occur to me to notice that that's what my actual experience is. And the time will come when it's just the case. Do you follow me?
I do.
Okay.
I follow you, yes.
It's good to hear from you.
Thank you, John.
So stay with us, okay? And just stay with us. Let me know how you're doing. Okay?
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Marlo. I think we're pretty much done here now. It's got 2 minutes left. If anybody's got something for that won't take longer than 2 minutes between both of us, raise your hand right now real quick. Okay then. I'm gonna be finished here. Stick around. Carla has some things to tell you about what's coming up. I'm so happy to be here with you. I love you all. I'm just so proud of us all in this work. We are actually doing something worthwhile. And all of us together, we're doing something worthwhile, something exciting, something worth doing. So here's something worth doing. Listen to Carla. I'll see you next time. Thank you. Bye.
You just listened to an open house meeting with John Sherman, broadcast live from Ojai, California, on March 13th, 2013. For more live recordings, visit our podcast at www.justoneloop.org.